Hello and welcome to The Music and the Movies, a program that looks at and listens to the sweet spot where music and movies intersect. In this hour, we ponder the special alchemy that happens when sound meets image, where music lovers and cinephiles come together. We explore a different theme in each episode, arranged around an idea or a person, and we delve into why some of our favorite movie moments are also musical ones. My name is Robert Horton. I'm a movie critic and historian and a member of the National Society of Film Critics. I'll play some music and talk about it in an attempt to get to the bottom of a lifelong fascination with why film is so especially intoxicating when music is involved. And at the end of each show, I'll round things off with the trailer, a particular cut that either didn't fit into the overall flow or has some special meaning to me or just so weird it deserves its own spot. So join us, won't you, for The Music and the Movies. Today's episode, Accordion. In the next hour, what we propose to do is to pay tribute to an oft-maligned musical instrument by tracing its use in the movies. I like the accordion, and I will try to make the case that the humble squeeze box can be used in films to summon up joy, sadness, romance, humor, whatever the dictates of the plot, and I hope that by foregrounding this sound, we may come to a new appreciation of the instrument. And then when we get to the end for the trailer, at the end of the show, I've got kind of an oddball connection with the accordion to a rock and roll combo that you might just have heard of. The accordion makes itself heard through different cultures all over the world, and its variations have different names, you know, like the concertina or the bandoneon, and many others. I'm not an expert on the accordion itself, I won't pretend to be, but I will talk about why its sound has meant something in film. Now, before you click the button to listen to something else, I realize that the accordion conjures up certain associations, shall we say, maybe some extremely old-fashioned cornpone of the kind linked to, I don't know, polka music. This has sometimes been the object of fun, if not ridicule. I think of Groundhog Day, for instance, where part of Bill Murray's torture in reliving the same day in Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania over and over again is the playing of the Pennsylvania Polka by Frankie Yankovic, the Polka King, at the same time every morning. You know the sound that I'm talking about. You know, Frankie Yankovic, Pennsylvania Polka, did provide an irritant in Groundhog Day, and so did everything else to Bill Murray's beleaguered weatherman. And, you know, maybe you also remember the Schmengi brothers from SCTV with their polka music, or maybe you were bewildered by the longevity of Lawrence Welk's weekly TV show, which brought ancient forms of music anchored by the accordion, sometimes played by bandleader Welk himself, or by the virtuoso Myron Florin. In my house growing up, Welk was a regular TV presence, and in fact, my mother hailed from the same small North Dakota town, Strasburg, that Welk had come from, so maybe this is where I got my affection for the instrument. Nevertheless, we're going to begin our proper appreciation of the accordion today with a number that I hope will wipe away any preconceived notions you might have, and is one of the giddiest, kookiest manifestations of the accordion in all of cinema. This is from the 2011 film Holy Motors, directed by Leos Carax, a filmmaker I admire. The film is a series of surreal sequences enacted by the gifted performer Denis Levant. And in the middle of the movie, and it's explicitly labeled as an entr'acte or intermission, you know, Levant picks up an accordion. He's in a big warehouse or something, and there happens to be an accordion there. He starts playing, and then as the camera retreats breathlessly before him, these other accordionists come in, some drummers and other musicians, they come marching behind him, and things just sort of escalate from there. And the song they're playing is a loud, dirty blues by R.L. Burnside called Let My Baby Ride. And there's no reason for any of this to be happening, you know, any more than anything else in the movie. But you roll with it, as we will hear. That's Let My Baby Ride, a song written by R.L. Burnside and Tom Rothrock, originally performed by Burnside in an appropriately filthy blues version, but adapted for the film Holy Motors as an accordion anthem. That director, Leos Carax, always seemed like he needed and wanted to make a musical. This year, actually, he's finally done it with a movie called Annette, starring Adam Driver and Marion Cotillard with songs by Sparks. Might be the movie that makes this filmmaker as well known as he deserves to be, I think. Okay, now that we've established a certain baseline, let's go way back and consider that a silent film, one of the most subversive and avant-garde movies ever made, was originally shown accompanied by a prominently featured accordion sound. Made in 1928, Un Chien Andalou was created by Luis Buñuel and Salvador Dali. Dali went back to painting for a career. That worked out for him, but Buñuel went on to create one of the great filmographies of any director. Like Holy Motors, this 20-minute film is a series of seemingly nonsensical happenings, a glorious eye-opener that still startles people today. Like all silent films, it was always meant to have musical accompaniment. And apparently during its initial screenings, when the audience threw things at the screen and stormed the projection booth, the filmmakers played records, a little bit of Wagner, and also a tango. If you ever watched this movie repeatedly in film class back in the day, or if you just like to revisit it once in a while, this accordion-led tango probably has gotten under your skin. Here's a little bit of that. It's titled Tango Argentino. ¶¶ music associated with the silent film Un Chien Andalou. And if you've seen the film more than once, you might be flashing on some of the surreal images just hearing that music. When it came time to prepare a version of the film with synchronized sound, that is the tango, Tango Argentino, credited to Vicente Alvarez, that Luis Buñuel made an official part of the soundtrack. I remember wandering through the Museum of the Moving Image in London once, which is sadly no longer there, and coming to a little installation where you could sit down and watch Un Chien Andalou in its entirety, but there was a warning sign outside the booth that read something like, "This film may be upsetting to children and sensitive people." I thought how great it was that a decades-old silent film could still be that dangerous. Hearing the tango reminds us that the accordion and its various forms, like the bandoneon, are given a little hipness by being associated with something as cool as the tango. There's been lots of tango music in film. Maybe you remember a scene from Sunset Boulevard when the aging silent movie queen Norma Desmond, played by Gloria Swanson, throws a New Year's Eve party, and she's got her little tango quartet playing in this vast, you know, empty ballroom in her great mansion. At which point, our narrator, the screenwriter played by William Holden, whom she's currently keeping as her companion, arrives. You can hear the tango strains of La Comparsita playing here as he surveys the scene.
It was at her New Year's party that I found out how she felt about me. Maybe I'd been an idiot not to have sensed it was coming. That sad, embarrassing revelation.
You look absolutely divine. Turn around.
Please.
Come on. Perfect. Wonderful shoulders. I love that line.
It's all padding. Don't let it fool you.
Yeah.
You know, to me, getting dressed up was always just putting on my dark blue suit.
I don't like the stud they send. I want you to have a pearl, a big, luscious pearl.
Well, I'm not going to wear earrings, I can tell you that.
Cute. Come on, let's have a drink.
Shouldn't we wait for the others?
Max, champagne. Careful, it's slippery. I had it waxed. Here's to us. You know, this floor used to be wood, but I had it changed. Valentino said there's nothing like tile for a tango. Come on.
Not on the same floor with Valentino.
Just follow me.
It's about that this point that the writer realizes that there are no other guests coming and that Norma wants him all to herself. That tune that's playing, La Comparsita, is perhaps the best known tango song in North America anyway. The director of Sunset Boulevard, Billy Wilder, came back to it 10 years later while devising perhaps the greatest musical cross-cutting in film history, a sequence in Some Like It Hot. Tony Curtis and Marilyn Monroe are out on a yacht swooning in each other's arms while a romantic tune plays parked offshore in a yacht, while we go back and forth to Jack Lemmon, currently dressed as a woman, who is dancing up a storm with the unsuspecting owner of the yacht, Joe E. Brown, at a nightclub where the band plays La Comparsita with increasing abandon and exhaustion, for that matter. Let's hear that song properly, actually, in a version recorded for another movie, the 1998 film Tango, directed by the great Spanish filmmaker Carlos Saura, one of a number of music films made by this director.
Thank you.
That's the classic song La Comparsita, composed by the Uruguayan player Gerardo Matos Rodriguez from the soundtrack of the 1998 film Tango. You're listening to The Music and the Movies, and I'm Robert Horton, the Polka King, spending an hour celebrating the accordion in film. One more reference from Billy Wilder, just to get this wacky moment in here. Marlene Dietrich plays the accordion, or pretends to, as she sings a song in the post-war wreckage in a scene from Wilder's film Witness from the Prosecution. Here she is doing I May Never Go Home Anymore.
Come on, join the party, have a hearty glass of rum. Don't ever think about tomorrow, for tomorrow may never come. When I find me a happy place, that's where I wanna stay. Time is nothing as long as I'm living it up this way. I may never go home anymore. Dim the lights and start locking the door. Give your arms to me, give your charms to me. After all, that's what sailors are for. I've got kisses and kisses galore that have never been tasted before. If you treat me right, this could be the night I may never go home.
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 I may never go home anymore.
Marlene Dietrich singing in her inimitable way, although actually she does get imitated a lot, so maybe that's not right. I May Not Go Home Anymore, written by Ralph Arthur Roberts and Jack Brooks, backed by the accordion in Billy Wilder's film Witness for the Prosecution. You know, there's a thread that takes us from the Sunset Boulevard scene to another great Hollywood director. In that scene, the accordion player on Norma Desmond's bandstand there is played by Danny Borzaghi, who did some small film roles in movies, but became famous in Hollywood for what he did off camera. He played the accordion to set the mood on the film sets of the director John Ford, perhaps Hollywood's most esteemed director of the Golden Age. This was an old habit held over from silent movie days when you could actually, you know, play music while you were shooting to get people in the mood and all that. But well into the 1960s, John Ford had Danny Borzaghi play the accordion between takes, sometimes just for one actor's benefit or to put the whole cast in an emotional mood or whatever. Such is the power of the accordion. Let's acknowledge John Ford's frequent use of folk music with this accordion passage from his 1940 film, The Grapes of Wrath. As the matriarch of the Joad family, played by Jane Darwell, sits looking at an incredibly modest, heartbreakingly modest, really, collection of mementos to leave behind before the trek west, and the accordion plays one of John Ford's favorite melodies, Red River Valley. You know, the accordion can be brash or it can be jaunty, but the wistfulness of the solo accordion perfectly suits the devastating simplicity of John Ford's imagery in The Grapes of Wrath. He would use Red River Valley many times in his films. One thing about the accordion turning up, you know, in Westerns or other rural tales, I think it reminds us of the accordion's proletarian nature. This is an inexpensive instrument, or can be, certainly, just a bellows between two handles where you can make chords and notes. You don't have to be rich to own a squeeze box, and they're portable. You can take them down to the barn dance or to a home party or whatever. I suppose this flexibility might be another reason some people look down on the accordion. Another American form of accordion music is Cajun or Zydeco music, which has informed a number of movie soundtracks, from the documentaries of Les Blank to the steamy soundtrack of the 1987 film The Big Easy. That's a very tuneful one. One excellent vehicle for Zydeco music was a 1992 film by John Sayles, a great independent American filmmaker, Passion Fish, a drama set in Louisiana. Here's a standout accordion-forward selection from that film's soundtrack, Bayou Ponpon, performed by Le Trio Cadien. The song is Bayou Ponpon, performed by Le Trio Cadien. That's a, sort of an ad hoc group made up of three standout Cajun performers. On the accordion, Eddie Lejeune, vocals by D.L. Menard, and fiddle work by Ken Smith. We're going to hear a little more Zydeco music before the end of our show, by way of Germany, just to intrigue you. But let's travel to France, where the accordion enjoys elevated status thanks to its place in the bal musette tradition of dance music. And it sneaks into a lot of soundtracks to movies, whether they're made in Paris or Hollywood, in order to tell us, you know, that we're in France. For instance, in the classic musical The Umbrellas of Cherbourg, directed by Jacques Demy in 1964, all the dialogue written by Demy, even the most banal little exchanges, is sung to music by Michel Legrand. So when the two young lovers go to a dance, it's very natural that an accordion band is playing, as we hear here.
Se doute de quelque chose.
Qui ça?
Maman, quand je lui ai dit que j'allais au théâtre avec Cécile, elle m'a regardé d'une drôle de façon.
Une façon comment?
Comme ça. Elle sait très bien que Cécile a horreur du théâtre et comme je mens très mal.
Bah, c'est toi qui le dis.
Si, si, je t'assure, je suis très maladroite. J'ai bafouillé, j'ai rougi, j'ai tout de suite parlé d'autre chose. Un machin dressé.
Un machin.
Au citron.
La même chose.
Changer de chaussures.
That selection from the classic film The Umbrellas of Cherbourg is called O Dancing, that is A-U Dancing, written by Michel Legrand and Jacques Demy. And all the actors on screen are the very young Catherine Deneuve and Nino Castelnuovo. The singing is actually dubbed there by José Bartel and Danielle Licari. It really fits the humble working-class environs of the story that it's the accordion that decorates this scene of just regular people going out for some modest, old-fashioned dancing. If any movie of recent memory might have revived interest in the accordion, I think it would have been Amelie, the 2001 film by the director Jean-Pierre Jeunet, with its bittersweet soundtrack by Jan Tiersen. Here's a lovely piece from that film, Amelie's Waltz. Music by Jan Tiersen from Amelie. We played the orchestral version of Amélie's Waltz on a recent episode about the music of the year 2001, but I wanted to save the accordion version for our session today. This is The Music and the Movies. I'm the host of the show, Robert Horton, and we're listening to the accordion in film history. Well, when Woody Allen did his Paris movie, Midnight in Paris, he did his usual thing of plucking pre-existing songs and slapping them on the soundtrack. And here's one of those numbers that evokes a romanticized Paris, with the accordion carrying the weight, called Le Parc de Plaisir. From the Midnight in Paris soundtrack, Le Parc de Plaisir, written and played by François Parisi. And while it might sound like an old song, Parisi was born in 1961 and is an accordionist involved in a revivalist movement of traditional French music. Let's stay in the romantic vein here for the Oscar-winning score of Il Postino, The Postman, the 1994 film that used the accordion to summon up the warm story of a lovelorn postman, inspired by his encounter with the poet Pablo Neruda. Here's a cue from the music by Louis Bakalov. That little cue is called Milonga del Poeta from Il Postino. It's composed by the Argentina-born Luis Bakalov, who won the Oscar for that score and had previously worked on a bunch of spaghetti westerns. The film is memorable for its lead performances by Philippe Noiret as Pablo Neruda and Massimo Troisi, who won a lot of accolades and actually an Oscar nomination as The Postman, but who died almost immediately after filming ended from a pre-existing heart condition at age 41. We stay in Italy for another track, this time a film from Federico Fellini, whose memory film, Amarcord, released in 1973, looked back at the seaside town where Fellini grew up and featured it's kind of nostalgic music by Fellini's usual collaborator, Nino Rota. Here's Rota employing a squeeze box on a cue called La Manine di Primavera. The accordion getting a workout, thanks to Nino Rota's wonderful score for Amarcord. A luscious and funny evocation of the past from the mighty filmmaker Federico Fellini. Well, now I want to play a song that I've loved since I first heard it performed in the 1994 film Lisbon Story, which was directed by Wim Wenders. From the beginning of his career in West Germany, Wenders has always had a wonderful ear for music. Think of the way Nick Cave and his band figure in Wings of Desire, or Wenders' wonderful documentary portrait of the musicians of the Buena Vista Social Club. And when I interviewed him in the 90s, Wenders said that when he was commissioned to make a film about Lisbon, he had no idea what to do until he heard the songs of the Portuguese band Madre Deus, whereupon he asked them to write the music and to actually appear in the film. There is much plot in Lisbon's story. In my review of the film, I said it has a sunny, funky humor that summons up the cinematic equivalent of a really good mood in a way that's as much as the movie has to offer us. The picture is more of a meditation on the white buildings, narrow streets, and azure sea of the Portuguese capital. Somehow, given the laid-back circumstances, that's quite enough. So you've got Madre Deus, which is a band that takes aspects of Portuguese folk music and the Portuguese music tradition called Fado, not strictly speaking a Fado band, but they use some of those elements, and they kind of make something new out of it, as you will hear in this track called Guitarra, which, as the title suggests, leads with guitar, but with prominent accordion. Thank you. a song called Guitarra, performed by the band Madre Deus, who are featured not just on the soundtrack, but also in the plot of the Wim Wenders film Lisbon Story. In fact, the vocalist there that you heard, Teresa Salguero, plays a featured acting role in the film. That song was written by band members Pedro Eris Magalhães and Rodrigo Leao, the accordion there played by Gabriel Gomez. I saw the movie and went directly to a record store back when that was a thing and bought the soundtrack, which is laced with the Portuguese feeling called saudade, that mix of sadness and longing, nicely channeled by Madre Deus. You're listening to The Music in the Movies. I'm Robert Horton, and we are listening to the accordion in a handful of movie moments. Wim Wenders shares an intense interest in finding the right movie music with his countryman, Werner Herzog. And we almost note the memorable presence of an accordion and a very distinctive player in one of Herzog's 1970s films. In Strozek, Herzog told the story of a man getting out of prison and leaving Germany with a couple of friends to come to Wisconsin. And what transforms this film is the casting of Bruno S. That's just an initial for his last name, who had been a street musician before Herzog cast him in the lead role of a previous film to this, The Enigma of Caspar Hauser. Bruno S. had been severely beaten as a child and had spent more than 20 years in a mental institution. And his otherworldly presence on screen, where he's not exactly acting, but very vividly existing, is spellbinding to watch. In this scene, Bruno S. plays the accordion and sings a little folk tale about a conniving young man and an innocent maiden. This is a scene from Strozek.
Sabine war ein Frau, ein Zimmer gar fromm und tugendhaft. Sie diente immer treu und redlich bei ihrer Diensterschaft. Bis zu einem bestimmten Tag. Da kam aus Treuenwitzen ein junger Mann daher. Falsche Hoffnung. Er wollte so gerne Sabine besitzen und war ein Schuhmacher, ein Anbeter, ein Proletarier. Die Not kommt rein, sein Geld, das hat er ganz versoffen, mein Schnaps und auch mein Bier. Prost, Prost, Prost. Da kam er zu Sabine gelaufen und wollte welches von ihr. Da machte er so. Sie konnte ihm keines geben, denn keines war zur Stelle. Da stahl er ihrer Dienerschaften 6 silberne Esslöffel. Immerhin in der Tasche, so hat er seinen Arsch getreten. Doch schon nach langen 18 Wochen, da kam der Diebstahl heraus. Da jagtet man mit Schimpf und Schande aus dem Haus.
That's the singular Bruno S., performing on the accordion and a little of the glockenspiel in Werner Herzog's 1977 film Strozek. A German film was much in my mind when I first conceived this idea for a music and movies program, which was really about 15 years ago, and became convinced that I needed to do an episode about the accordion. And this is a very crowd-pleasing movie called Schulze Gets the Blues from 2003, directed by Michael Schorr, kind of a mystery figure. He hasn't directed a film in about 15 years. I'm not sure what he's up to. But this one's about an accordion player, a sort of a regular guy, retiree. He's built along the lines of Curly from the Three Stooges, if you can summon up that image in your mind, except with Lederhosen. And he plays the usual Umpa-style German traditional music. And one day he snaps on the radio, and he becomes absolutely possessed when he randomly hears a piece of Zydeco music. And before we start talking about Schulze's transformation, let's hear the music that liberates him, that comes on the radio at that moment. This is a band called Zydeco Force with the song Zydeco from 1988.
Yeah.
From the movie Schulze Gets the Blues, that's Zydeco from 1988, performed by Zydeco Force, written by Robbie Mann Robinson. That little bit is about as much as Schulze hears on the radio, which is the point where he becomes obsessed with this new kind of music to him. And it's very basic Zydeco. I mean, you could hear there, it was that they've got a riff and they keep hammering it basically over and over. But that's one of the charms of this movie, I think, that a life could be changed by something so simple. In a subsequent scene that we'll listen to a little bit, Schulze is out at the local music hall with his very tradition-minded friends, and he gets up with everybody expecting him to play a good old polka, and instead he sounds like this, playing so frantically that he really comes across as a man possessed. The response to that number in Schulze Gets the Blues is sort of a smattering of applause from Schulze's friends, but a pretty hostile reaction from others. And this leads Schulze, who's played by this German actor, Horst Krauss, to come to Louisiana and just see what's going on. And we'll let the movie take it from there, but I think the charm and simplicity of the film is all about how music speaks to us and lets us see the world and ourselves in a different way. And this movie puts the humble accordion right at the center of that. That's our trailer music. And for our trailer today, to kind of wind things up, we have got an unlikely tune written by the world's greatest band for a film project. John Lennon and Paul McCartney wrote a lot of sort of experimental songs for the Beatles, but nothing quite like Shirley's Wild Accordion, which was devised for their psychedelic one-hour film Magical Mystery Tour in 1967. The song was recorded under their supervision by an accordionist they knew from the Liverpool area named Shirley Evans. But although she does appear in the film, the track itself was cut from the final print. But we can listen to it now and see if you think it has a Beatlesque quality. Thank you. That's the unreleased track, Shirley's Wild Accordion, played by Shirley Evans for the TV film Magical Mystery Tour, the not ultimately included in the final cut, composed by John Lennon and Paul McCartney. Well, I don't know if I've made any new believers out of accordion skeptics, but I hope you've enjoyed this consideration of the movie career of an under-respected instrument. We haven't tried to be completist here, no big overview or anything. I simply collected a batch of songs that made an impression on me and somehow stuck in my mind. That sound could only be the wonderful, wonderful champagne music of Lawrence Welk being uncorked with his signature tune called Bubbles in the Wine, which, along with appearing every week on Welk's TV show, has popped up in a few films over the years, including Albert Brooks's Lost in America. So crank up the bubble maker and grab your squeeze box as we come full circle here with the unstoppable Mr. Welk. My name is Robert Horton. I want to thank you for listening to The Music and the Movies.